everyone. Thank you for being here today. I'm Fika Zanjani. I'm from the University of Kentucky, the Graduate Center for Gerontology. And today I'm going to be presenting on, as titled up there, Age or Duration, What Better Determines Health Outcomes and Behavior. And what's missing from the title is among adults with HIV, which is now considered a chronic condition in this era. So the purpose of today's talk is to differentiate the effect of age and time. And here in this presentation, I'm defining time as the duration of HIV itself. And if you have to remember with HIV or with any diagnosis, that it's the time it's diagnosed. They could have had it beforehand, they could have had the symptoms beforehand, but this is just at the time of diagnosis to the time of data collection. And I'm looking at health outcomes and behaviors among HIV adults. And there's specifically, we're looking at four areas: mental health and substance abuse outcomes, medical comorbidity, cognition, and health behavior adherence. So based on the current estimates of the HIV epidemic, the 50-plus group is considered older HIV adults in this population and is one of the fastest-growing segments of the HIV population. Older HIV-infected adults are increasing due to advancements in medical technology, specifically the heart therapy, and also because of increased rates in transmission. 50-plus or middle-aged actually has the highest rates of transmission across the lifespan currently. The data I'm presenting comes actually from a pilot study entitled HIV Aging, supported from NIH, the Center for AIDS Research. The data collection actually happened at the University of Pennsylvania, so it's an urban population as we know it. The study was designed originally to explore the growing HIV elderly population and investigate age differences in the quality of life and risk of comorbidity. Participants were actually recruited through an existing CIFAR clinical registry, or they were recruited from referrals from infectious disease clinics in the local areas. Study participants were known to be infected with HIV, that's how they were added to the registry, or they were known by their clinician before referring them to us. This was a cross-sectional design where each participant was tasked to attend a one-time 3-hour interview conducted by a trained research assistant for which they were compensated $40, which is very minimal compared to the effort that they gave us. There were 5 specific domains that we assessed in the complete interview. And that was psychiatric status, alcohol use and illicit substance use, medical and emotional comorbidity, and medical adherence and lifestyle and cognition. We were successful at recruiting 109 subjects, which I was very excited about, but compared to the big samples, it's a little minimal. But we had fewer older females, as can see in this table, were represented than we would have liked. This is because of several reasons. Older females were not equally represented in our sample because they proved most difficult to recruit because they did not exist in the actual clinics, and also they seem to have increased perceived barriers to participation in such research. However, we were able to get a nice age range, 21 to 88. We were very happy with that. And the analysis of our demographics, as you can see, we did a 2-group analysis, younger, which we considered about 21 to 49, and then older, which we considered about 50 to 88. And the demographic differences in our sample indicated that older HIV adults were less likely to be single, work full-time, or have some form of health insurance, and younger adults were less likely to be living alone. These have been bolded in the table and represent statistical significance. There was no statistical significance in the age group distribution of ethnicity, education, income, source of HIV contact, or duration of HIV, which was 10 years, which is enabled me to look at time effects, since we did have a nice range. To address the matter at hand, I felt the need to better differentiate how HIV comorbidity is affected by an individual's age status and actually aging with the disease. There are a lot of unknowns with how HIV functions in older adults and how aging with the disease can undermine an individual's health status. Hopefully this presentation will shed some light on the topic within the limitation of a cross-sectional designs in the areas listed above. The first table here shows age differences in mental health and substance abuse symptomology. This information was based actually on a mini psychiatric assessment that we did during the interview. As indicated in the table, there was only reliable significant differences among the presence of any mental health and substance abuse condition, so that could be any of the ones listed below, indicating that younger adults have higher rates of meeting criteria for a mental health or substance abuse condition. There were no other indications of reliable differences in having been in being comorbid, both having a mental health and a substance abuse condition, depression, illicit drug use, mania, psychosis, anxiety, PTSD, suicidal ideation, or at-risk drinking, which you define in this population as one drink a day. The threshold is a little lower for HIV adults because adherence for medication decreases significantly with any consumption of alcohol. When you try to look at the same table now with mental health and substance abuse outcomes, however, this time looking at the effects of duration, which is HIV duration, in addition to age. So now we're looking at odds ratios, basically. What we see is somewhat of a similar picture that we saw in the earlier table, which now is continuous in this model as compared to the categorical in the previous model. We see that younger adults are at higher risk for having any mental health and substance abuse conditions, illicit drug use, and now suicidal ideation. However, a different image emerges as the effect of duration examined. What we see is that there's an increased risk of illicit drug use, excluding cannabis use, and psychosis with the increase in HIV duration. In interpretation, the longer you live with HIV, this sample shows that there is a higher probability of experiencing psychotic symptomology and using illicit drugs. This naturally needs further investigation, specifically when we have further knowledge of the experience of aging with HIV with some of the circumstances that may increase the risk for certain mental health and substance abuse experiences. This table is now looking at age differences in medical comorbidity. We see reliable age differences for diabetes, hypertension, heart trouble, circulation problems, and arthritis, indicating that older adults have higher incidence for these conditions. Also listed in this table is stomach ulcers, glaucoma, cataracts, and cancer, also significantly indicating higher incidence in older adults, but due to the low rates, I did not necessarily consider the differences reliable, so I presented them here as descriptive of the phenomena at hand. What you will also notice in the note is that we did not see any indication of age differences in several other conditions we collected information on, including paralysis, stroke, emphysema, liver trouble. They're all kind of listed below. One of the surprising things about that is some of which are known to be diseases that have higher incidence among older adults was not seen in this in our analysis. Now again, if you look at the same question, however examining the effect of duration with age, duration does not emerge as a predictor of medical comorbidity. Instead, similar to the earlier table, we see that the older age simply increases the risk of certain instances of disease. Sometimes what is more interesting is the absence of the effect, and again we see circulation problems and stomach ulcers joins the ranks of diseases that neither have an age or a duration effect. So what we can conclude from these tables is that age continues to be a risk factor for certain medical morbidities. However, we need to understand a little more about why certain diseases that we expect to be associated with age are not present, such as sleep disorders or stroke. Okay, here we have the same age difference table. However, this time the outcome is cognitive status. Now the reason I considered cognition is because currently there's a lot of research surrounding the idea of how HIV affects an individual's neurological status. And the general message from the research claims that HIV could be impairing the neurological system. To shed further light on in the area, I want to examine how cognition held up in an age and duration model like previously. The scores in this table represent standardized scores, which means the means are standardized to be 50 and the standard deviations to 10. Except with the exception of the Mini-Mental exam, which is below, which is just represents the range. Based on general impression, you can see that for the most part, this sample has mean scores 1 to 1.5 standard deviations below normative levels. Specifically, as you can see, we examined 7 cognitive domains, and we only saw age differences in a subsection of memory and verbal fluency, however, in the opposite direction of expectation. Specifically, we saw that older adults were performing better than the younger adults, and if you are at all familiar with the literature, this finding is in opposition of the common literature indicating that older adults usually perform poorer than younger adults. Again, looking at cognition as affected by age and duration, just as a side note, we are now looking at beta weights from a regression model since we examined cognition as a continuous outcome here. But anyway, as we see, there is no effect of duration. In other terms, living longer with HIV did not seem to affect cognition in any way. However, as we saw earlier, a positive effect for age, specifically for memory and verbal fluency, indicating that older age is associated with higher memory and verbal fluency levels. Naturally, we still need to understand if this effect is a characteristic of the sample that we have here at hand, or is the disease functioning in some way that produces advantages of cognition among older adults. And my reasoning kind of behind that was the management of HIV is intense as compared to a lot of diseases, so I don't know if they're giving older adults some practice with thinking about a lot of things, but that, of course, requires more research. Again, we see here age group differences model now, but now for certain health behaviors, specifically medication adherence, which is an important behavior linked to the management of HIV disease. The other behaviors are behaviors linked to poor health outcomes in older age. As you can see, they're health behaviors. And we rank them according to their riskiness, such as for risky weight, we're considering obesity, BMI is above 30. Exercising under 3 hours, we considered risky. The absence of regular dental care, that's care within the last year, or even medical care in the last year, or regular seatbelt use, smoking at all, drinking more than 2 drinks a day is considered risky. Sleeping more than 8 hours or less than 6 hours is considered risky, and not monitoring any food consumption is considered risky. What we see in this table is that age differences for medication adherence, specifically younger adults, are more likely to stop using their HIV medication when feeling worse. We also see an age difference for smoking, indicating that younger adults are more likely to be smoking. And also the total health behavior riskiness at the bottom of the table indicates that younger adults have an accumulation of more risky health behaviors. When we examined the same factors using the alternative model, we found that younger individuals were at higher risk for erratic dental and medical care, smoking, and in general have an accumulation of more risky health behaviors, similar to what we saw earlier. Further, individuals living with HIV within a relatively shorter duration are at higher risk for erratic seatbelt use and poor sleep behaviors. The only behavior that has increased risk with the duration of HIV is stopping HIV medication when feeling worse. This finding by itself has very serious health implications, since regular medication behaviors are central and the frontline behavior to the health management of HIV adults. In summary, what we see is that younger adults are at higher risk for mental health and substance abuse symptomology, where longer duration of HIV seems to increase risk for substance use and psychosis. For medical morbidity, older adults are simply at higher effect for medical morbidity with no effect on duration. For cognition, again, no effect of duration, but younger adults are at higher risk for poorer cognition. And finally, younger adults are at higher risk for poor health behavior adherence in certain areas. However, duration also affects health behavior outcomes, where shorter duration is associated with higher risk of poor seatbelt use and sleep, but more importantly, longer duration increases risk for HIV medication cessation. In general, in reference to the HIV adults, individuals, and their health disadvantages, we see that older adults at higher risk for medical comorbidity, which was not very surprising. Younger adults have higher risk of mental health and substance abuse conditions, lower levels of cognitions, and poor health behavior practices. And then finally, longer duration of HIV seems to lead to illicit drug use, psychotic symptomology, and an impairment in HIV medication adherence. In general, these exploratory findings need to be examined using a longitudinal design to actually examine the effects of aging through time using a prospective design. In regards to intervention, it is possible that individuals living longer with HIV might need some behavioral intervention to enforce medication adherence and any negative effects of aging with the disease. That's actually all the information I have. I provided some contact information in case you wanted to reach me later on.
I noticed that you are evaluating independently the age of the duration.
Yes.
Are you considering
did actually look at, I did actually look at the interaction and nothing showed up. And sometimes when, I think one time something showed up, I think it was illicit drug use, and it was a little complicated and almost, it seemed odd to explain. So the interactions, that and that was only one, came out of all of those analyses. So just with the idea of error, I assume that was maybe some noise that we saw. But I do think that the interaction is very important, because somebody younger living with a disease for 10 years versus somebody older living with something with HIV for 10 years would produce different effects. But it wasn't a pattern we saw across the health outcomes. Yes. Yes, they all have HIV. That was actually one of my purposes to look at the older group, is to see if they're developing similar morbidities as far as non-HIV groups. And what we're seeing is that they do have a higher incidence. But I think what you're saying is that if we directly compare our older HIV adults here with older adults without HIV, and I think that would be we don't have data for that currently, but I think that would be a great area of exploration. But I think one of the, because HIV aging just itself is such a rare topic of research, that trying to understand the population at hand might have been our first route of interest, and that's why we went about it that way. But I think a cross-disease group analysis might be beneficial. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. What we tried to do is we tried to do extreme riskiness. So everybody that would drink, for example, for drinking above 2 drinks a day were considered risky. Anybody that drank less was considered non-risky. Is there a specific health behavior you wanted me? Oh, for nutrition. So anybody that showed monitoring, that they looked at the pyramid, they looked at how many calories they ate, if they watched fat monitoring, they were considered as non-risky. But anybody that did not care about those kind of objectives, we considered risky in this situation.
Thank you.
Thank you.